Let's tonight turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Last week, we went through chapter 8 and we talked about knowing wisdom. And that knowing true wisdom is knowing God. In verses 1 through 4, we see wisdom crying out again. The cry is here now, and it's in all the places where wisdom needs to be. And it's to those who need it the most. And we need to pray for that. The Bible promises wisdom when we ask God. Secondly, we see the call that's in the cry. Wisdom, we should not want to stay in our present state. Period. We should not want to stay there. Especially for those that do not know Christ. You should not be there. You should have a relationship with Him. And know that eternity is assured in heaven. But for us, we need to be wiser every day. She says, look at what I offer. Wisdom does require a willing heart. You need to have the veil of humanity and the veil of secularism and the veil of the world taken away off your heart. Because it is an issue of the heart. So we see the cry of wisdom, we see the call and the cry, and then we see that the comparison in the call. Wisdom says, look, my worth is better than all the world's wealth. My way is the right way to go and not the wrong way. Wisdom's will is the same as God's will. If you're going wisdom's way, you're going God's way. And so we need to understand that. Then the consequences in the call. You need to follow it in verse 14. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. There's four things there. The benefit says wisdom to lead. Princes and kings rule by wisdom. Wisdom to discover. Wisdom's wealth, and then wisdom's way in verse 20 and 21. Lastly, we see the equalness with Christ, this congruency with Christ. Wisdom was there in the beginning of time with God. And wisdom is God because He's all truth, He's all light, He's all wisdom. And then it was created, wisdom was in the creation of the universe. You know, Angie's getting ready for school, and on the way back from her trip today, she's sitting there studying science a little bit. And there's a trait in some animals called mimicry, where one animal, like in this case a spider, looks like an ant. Makes itself look like an ant, so the other things think it's an ant, not a spider. And the ants think it's another ant. And so the discussion was, did the spider learn that, or was it inbred? And the answer is, God made it that way. You know, God made camouflage, God made all these things. He made it that way. It might be enhanced through other wisdom, but He made us the way we are. You know, He made us with an emptiness in our heart. He made us with an innate desire to know more. He made us with an innate desire to understand that there's something bigger than us. There's something bigger than this world. And we need to follow that. And it's called a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's for the saved person. But basically, God wants everyone to get saved. He sent His Son to die on the cross for that. He's not willing that any should perish. So tonight, as we go through chapter 9 of Proverbs, the last part here, the commands of wisdom is to hear me, find me, and follow me. So we take that into chapter 9. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Him. So as we go into chapter 9, there's a tale here. We see comparisons in chapter 8, and now we see a choice. There are two banquets prepared in chapter 9. There's a banquet prepared by wisdom, and there's a banquet prepared by folly. And there's a tale of these two banquets. You could choose to go to either one, okay? But we need to make the right choice. And the issue is that wisdom and wisdom's banquet is the only choice. So we look at communing with wisdom. We talk about fellowship, and for Baptists that means eat, okay? We want to talk around the table a lot. A lot of conversations happen around the table. So in verses 1 through 6 here, we see this banquet that wisdom has prepared for us. And then we're going to see another parallel with Christ as we go through this. The first thing is that wisdom has a house prepared. It says, wisdom hath builded her house. It's already been prepared. You know what? It was prepared before the beginning of creation. So wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. Now, if you go and you study numbers in the Bible, that seven is the number of what? Completion. Okay? Seven is completion. It's also the day of rest. Okay? God created, you know, the heaven and earth in 7 days, 6 days plus a day of rest. So seven is completion. There were seven candlesticks in Revelation. There are seven spirits. There are seven eyes. We saw that in Zechariah. So wisdom has a house prepared for this event. Prepared before time. Our Savior. John chapter 14 verse 3. And if I go and prepare a what? Place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And we know from our study in Revelation that after we go through the judgment seat of Christ, that while the tribulation is coming down here, there is a marriage supper of the Lamb. That we are going to be married eternally with Christ. And so, communion with wisdom in a house prepared by her. You can't commune with wisdom in anybody else's house. In folly's house. They are mutually exclusive. Secondly, to a banquet prepared. In verse 2 it says, she hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. Okay. Basically added water, wine, just kind of spread it around. Okay? And she has also what? Furnished her table. And these three things here, we see that she's done everything necessary for a banquet. See, wisdom is everything that we need in order to live. So she has a house prepared to have a banquet in. She has the meal prepared to have the banquet in, and all she needs now are what? People. Okay? There's a call conveyed. In verses 3 through 6, it says, she has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith him, come. Eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I've mingled or prepared for you. See, not only do you need to commune in wisdom's house, you need to eat wisdom's meal. Nothing else. Okay? There's no diet here. It's wisdom's meal. There's no Atkins and there's no keto and there's none of this other stuff. It's wisdom's meal. Okay? Forsake the foolish and live. And go the way of understanding. See, there's some things here that we need to understand. And it applies to us. The first one is, wisdom has emissaries. Wisdom has people that go out and say, come to us. Come to the banquet. You know whose wisdom's emissaries are now, today? Us. You know where Christ's witnesses are today? Us. You know who Christ's ministers are today? Us. We are the emissaries. Wisdom has emissaries here. She sent forth her maidens. Now, that means virgins. That means purity. And therefore, we need to be holy. Okay? The same thing. She sends forth people who are fit for the call. She sends forth people who represent who she is. We need to represent wisdom. Secondly, it was a call for all. It's a call to the simple, those that we've seen in the previous chapters who don't care, want to do their own thing, you know, make mistakes, just being foolish. But my question is, does anyone in here say that you've learned all that you need to know? No. Okay? We all need to know more. We all lack wisdom. We can all use more. So in verse 4, it says, okay, from this end to this end, everybody's invited. And everybody's going to get what? Everybody's going to get a benefit. And what's the invitation? Come, eat of my bread. Now think about this. If we're equating wisdom with Christ, Christ said, I am the what? I am the bread of life. Okay? What did he say at the Last Supper about his blood? Yeah, it's a new covenant. Okay? So we see even the elements in here of this. So it's, wisdom has emissaries. It is a call for all. And then the last thing is the necessities to heed the call. Okay, folks, we need to forsake the foolish. Okay? Because we've seen in previous chapters that following the foolish path leads to what? Death. Sin leads to a physical death, period. But not doing God's will leads to a spiritual death. We're dead to God when we're not doing what God wants us to do. Okay? Forsake the foolish, and if you forsake the foolish, you will do what? You will live. We need to be alive unto Christ and dead unto sin. We're supposed to be lively stones. We're supposed to act as if there's something going on in our lives. And the third thing here is, go in the way of understanding. That means that if you say you're a Christian, your thoughts, attitudes, advice, the way you look at things ought to be shrouded in God. It ought to be shrouded in wisdom. We need to look through the prism of wisdom here. We need to have a wisdom worldview, not a worldly worldview. So we look at God's word and we do this. These are the necessities. Forsake the foolish. Live and go in the way of understanding. So we see she has a house prepared. She has a banquet prepared. And, you know, God and wisdom didn't do all this for nothing. You know, you don't go and clean out your house. And you don't go and prepare a big meal at Thanksgiving expecting no one to show up, right? You expect people to show up. You expect your family to show up. And the same thing. God does all these things for us, and He expects what? He expects us to show up. So it's time to show up. It's time to show up. So there's a call conveyed here. Now, let's look at some similarities. In Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24, it says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So that just opens an opportunity for wisdom incarnate, Christ, to share. And so here we go. He says, then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and what? Bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. You don't have to do a thing. You know, you don't have to do a thing for salvation except come and believe. There's nothing you have to do to get saved except believe in Jesus Christ. And they all with one consent. And oh, isn't that just like us? You know, sometimes we just make up an excuse because we don't want to go to the supper that people invited us to. Because we don't like them. Okay? But look at this. We have three reasons here. It says, and with they, how many? All. With one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. So the businessman, the farmer, I got stuff to do out there. Okay? And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have a test drove them. Okay? And I go to prove them. I pray, have me excused. And another said, whoop. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore, look at this one. The other ones at least said, here, can I be excused? This one says this, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. It is absolutely 100%, I can't show up. Wow. See, we can let stuff get in the way. We can let business get in the way. We can let family get in the way of coming to God's banqueting table. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry. You know, the one thing that we get upset about in our own family with our own kids is when they don't show appreciation. Or when they take you for granted. Oh, Christian, how many times have we taken things for granted? We take God's mercy and we take His grace and we take His word. We take all of it for granted. We don't do the things that He tells us to. And He cries out from the highest places. He says, do these things. And we just take it for granted. And we think of God as being a God of just love only. But we've already seen in Proverbs that He hates things. Okay, He hates things. And he's also a God of judgment and justice. And we've seen that too. See, those were the ones that were on the guest list. They were the chosen ones. They were on the A list for this banquet. And not one of them wanted to show up. Now today, people in the world say, well, those are valid excuses. No, they're not. When God calls you, you need to come. Drop everything. It says, anyone that says they will follow me and turns their back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. Okay? Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and pray in the poor, in the maimed, and the halt, and the blind, the folks that never thought that they would get a chance. Never thought they would get an invitation. Basically, the ones that the world has cast off. What about wisdom? The simple ones, the ones that want understanding. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and there is what? Yet there is room. Verse 23, it says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be what? Filled. The house that Christ built. The banquet that He made. The wisdom that He wants to give. It's available to all. All you have to do is accept the invitation. Don't make excuses. Don't take Him for granted.
Right.
Follow Him. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Wow. Wow. So that is communing with wisdom. She has a house prepared. She has a banquet prepared. She has a call that's conveyed. It's just like this. And you get a lot more than you ever thought possible. And it's available for all. It's available for all. So in verses 7 through 12, there's kind of an interlude period. Okay? Some people think that this doesn't belong in here, but it does. It does. There's choices to consider here. In verses 7 and 9, we see a choice to speak wisely. Now, says, he that reproveth a scorner giveth to him himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man giveth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate ye. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So let's talk about some anecdotes of wisdom or some pieces of wisdom. The first one is, we need to speak wisely to those who will listen. You know, you've heard the thing, don't go down to what? Their level. Okay? Don't get in a screaming match with someone over this. You know, Jesus never did. Look at how Jesus confronted the Pharisees. They were foolish. They were foolish. But what did he do? Basically, sometimes he just turned away. He gave them the truth and then he left. And folks, that's what we're supposed to do. We give the truth and sometimes you leave. Because if you start arguing with someone, it turns into something bigger than that. And you wind up getting a blot on yourself. That's what verses 7 and 8 talk about. Later on, it says you don't take a dog by the ears. Because what happens? You take a dog by ears. You get what? Get bit. Okay? Okay? So the first part of 7 and the first part of 8 says that. Okay? Rebuke a wise man and he will what? Love thee. So we have to have what? We have to have discretion. First of all, we have to have a message. And if you don't have a message, don't get involved. The second thing is, if you don't have discretion, if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit, don't get involved. You're going to lose. And then the third thing is, look for the opportunities that God puts in front of you, because Satan puts a counterfeit in front of you too. And we're going to see the counterfeit banquet here in a minute. So speak wisely to those who will listen. Speak wisely to those who know their own limitations. You know, there's people to think that they don't need help. And trying to help someone who doesn't think they don't need help, you're not going to go anywhere. You look for opportunities to help people. The other day, I'm out on the parking lot. And there's a car coming up way slowly. And it's got a flat right front tire. And now the rubber's coming off and it's slapping. It's actually slapped the front bumper off. And the bumper's hanging down. And he comes and I just kind of come out. I said, hey, do you have a spare? He said, yeah, I have a spare. I said, well, I'll help you put it on. And he said, well, it's at my house. And I said, well, I'll take you there and go get the spare and we'll help put it. Oh, no. And I said, here's my car keys. Go get the spare and we'll put it back on. And the gentleman that was here visiting with us Sunday morning was watching this. And the guy says, no, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need any help. I'll take care of it. And kept on waddling down the road with the thing. And pieces started falling off his car. Folks, when your life is falling apart and someone's asking you to give you God's help, take it. Don't be proud. See, to be proud is to be foolish. We need to be able to speak wisely to him. I didn't argue with him. Gave him two opportunities, said nope, and that's it. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. He didn't know his limitations. I don't know if he got the car there or not. I could tell you he had a lot worse damage getting there than he did if he had just gotten it fixed. And you know something? That's how sin works in our life. You get your sin stuff taken care of quickly. First of all, don't do it. The second thing is, if you find yourself in sin, confess it and get it taken care of before it does more and more damage. Remember about sin, when it's finished, it brings forth what? Death. So, choice to consider, speak wisely. Choice is considered, seek the wisdom of God. Verses 10 through 11 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So just like salvation is the beginning of your spiritual walk, understanding who God is doesn't get you saved. It's just the beginning of down the path to see your need for salvation. Okay? And the knowledge of the holy is understanding, because you'll do things in accordance with truth and right and love. I wish the world would get this. We'd have a lot better things going on right now in what we do. He says, for by me, by what? Who's talking? Wisdom. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So we need to speak wisely. We need to seek the wisdom of God, the God of wisdom. And then we need to be wise. I know I have an extra word in there, okay? Okay? It says, if thou be wise, thou should be wise for who? Yourself. You know, I've been guilty of this. You've probably been guilty of this. Trying to help somebody, you didn't have a clue what we're doing. And what happened? You make a bigger mess. I've done that. Okay? Never done that? Then you're wiser, okay? Okay? Thou be wise, thou should be wise for thyself, but if thou be scornest, thou alone shall bear it. Thou alone shall bear it. See, we're responsible for our own actions. What are we supposed to be responsible for? The fear of the Lord. It's an individual thing. To seek wisdom, it's an individual thing. To apply wisdom in our life, it's an individual thing. It's your choice. You can either choose wisdom or not choose wisdom. Okay? You can choose to speak wisely or not speak wisely. You can choose to seek God or not to seek God. Lastly, communing with a counterfeit. Communing with a counterfeit. Verses 13 through 18. A foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple and knoweth what? Nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways, go by the place. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth to understand it, she says to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Do you see the counterfeits here? But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are where? In the depths of hell. You can't live a life of sin and go to heaven. You need God's forgiveness. If you have God's forgiveness, you should not continue to live in a life of sin. And if you do that, you're not being very wise, but foolish. So let's just get that out here. So let's look at this stuff here. First of all, there's false wisdom. Okay? There's false wisdom. She says, she knows what? Verse 13. And she says she knows nothing. She's clamorous, okay? She is simple. What does clamorous mean? To be loud. You watch the TV recently? You know, when you don't get their way or people not going the way that they're speaking, what happens? They just get louder and they start screaming more. My God speaks to me in a still small voice. Okay? You know why? Because if someone's loud, you can't listen to anybody else. You're going to have to shut that out, folks. Shut that out. There's false wisdom here. When you commune with the counterfeit, with the harlot, with the immoral. Okay? And remember, in Revelation, how the world system is saying, the great what? Babylon? The great harlot? Okay? False honor. Okay? False honor. She says, for she sitteth in the door of her house, but look at the second part. It says, on a seat in the high places of the city. See where wisdom was calling from? She was calling from the high places. She was calling to the high places. She was calling us. The harlot's right there too. So Satan wants to be an imitator of Christ wherever he can. He's going to say things that sound good. He's going to be in places that look good. Thirdly, there's a false calling. Okay? See, we all are tempted. We all have to walk in the world. There is stuff on this side and this side. You drive down the road, there's the billboards. They're there. Okay? The issue is what do you do when you see them? Do you see them and look and say, hey, I want to do that and go off the path? Or do you just keep on going straight? See, that's the whole issue here. There is a false calling. Just like wisdom calls, the harlot calls. Just like Christ calls, Satan calls. It's a choice. There's fake promises. Okay? There's fake promises. Okay? First of all, they're believed by the simple. It says, whoso is simple. What are we talking about simple? Hey, basically, go through life with no thought. No consideration what they're doing. Live for the moment. Spend money as soon as they get it. And wonder why they don't have anything to eat. So it's believed by the simple. It says, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. Okay? And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. So see, here's the point. These temptations are all around us. If we just keep on going straight, we block that out. We set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And you'll hear the small voice. But you know what Satan wants you to do? The moment you turn, and you start dwelling on what you see or what you see, and you start thinking about it, Satan's got you. The hook's there. And you know, if you fish, what do you do when you feel the tug? Set the hook. Why do you set the hook? So the fish doesn't get off. So basically, you can go downtown San Antonio and find people like this. You can go anywhere and find people like this. Okay? If you don't go there, you won't see it. Okay? And if you do go there and you say, I know what's down here, I'm not going to look at this, I'm going to keep on going straight on, there's no chance of setting the hook. But it says it's believed by the simple, and then the hook set is belied by the prospects. As soon as he turns, here comes the words. Stolen waters are sweet. Hey, this is going to feel good. It's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you forget all the stuff that's going on around you for a little bit. Hook set. And bread eaten secret. See, everybody else, no one will know. And I fear that there are a lot of Christians out there today doing things that they shouldn't do because they don't think anyone knows. God knows. And my Bible tells me this: be sure your sins will find you out. For whatsoever ye sow, that shall ye also reap. He will by no means clear the guilty. Don't believe the lie. Keep going straight on. If you turn, oh boy, you're in trouble. Can you get off the hook? Yeah, I get off the hook, but you have to fight at it. And unfortunately, most people just get hooked and then they just give up. And then they come up with this excuse: I just don't know what happened. I was doing so good and then I just fell into sin. See, that's not accepting responsibility. That's being foolish. See, you're belied by the prospects. Okay? Verse 18 says this. You know, we're supposed to walk circumspectly as wise and not as fools. We've seen that verse. But look at this. But he knoweth what? Not. Folks, I'm telling you right now that Satan's out there. I'm telling you right now to stay on the right path. I'm telling you right now, don't look away. Because the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are out there everywhere. Don't look away. It's a counterfeit. If you look, all of a sudden this hook is set. And if you feel the hook, you better fight. Because we do fight a what? Spiritual warfare. Beware of the consequence. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. See, that's how Satan will keep people from getting saved. And it saddens me that I've worked with people before, and you probably have too. And you think they're about ready to make a commitment, and then something happens and they're gone. We just keep on doing what we need to be doing. And don't waste an opportunity. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. See, you can either commune with wisdom, or you can commune with a counterfeit. Who are you communing with tonight? Who are you following? Are you speaking wisely? Are you seeking the God of wisdom? Are you doing what wisdom calls us to do? It's all set up. All we have to do is listen to God's invite and follow Him. He's given us an invite tonight. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, you can. He's done it all. He did it on the cross. Christian, He's given us all we need for life and godliness. It's all there. All we need is to take it. Let's follow Him. Amen. Let's be wise and not simple. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask you this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, to follow you and to follow wisdom. Father, have your way and your will, and fill this place with your power tonight. Father, help us, Lord. We're a needy people. Help us, Lord, to learn your lessons. Help us, Lord, to be wise and not foolish, that we could glorify you and follow you and be your servants. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.